I spent this last week studying over 500 scriptures that talk about poverty and prospering and riches and wealth. And I pray to God I can do this in 30 minutes. There's a lot on my heart right now about this topic because I've lived in both sides of it. And the scripture is so very clear, and I want the Word of God to share with you what you need to know and where God wants to direct you. But first, I need to do this. I need to pray once again. Father, God, I just ask that my words, that they would just fall. And that, God, that your words would transcend all understanding. That, God, that you would be the one that would reign on this call. And, God, would you shut the mouth of the devourer? Would you hold back the hand of the enemy? God, would you bind up every critical and judgmental spirit? Would you bind up every divisive spirit? Father, we declare war. These are your people who love you, God, and we say we will not submit to the hands of the enemy, that we will not submit our minds to constantly looking for things that are wrong in people and misjudging things, that, Lord, we are to hate sin, but not each other. That we're to love one another, God, and I pray that your love rises up in me and then it rises up in my brothers and sisters that are on this phone. Lord, and I pray that I can once again accept who you made me to be. And Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters can also accept who you made me to be and that they can accept who you made all of us to be. That, Lord, you have different callings on each one of our lives. That you've given different giftings on each one of our lives. That, Lord God, that you're God and we're not. And so often, Lord, that we want to put ourselves in a box that says this is what Christians look at and walk and talk like, Lord. And I know you're not in that box. So, Lord, I want to step out of that box and I want to say, have your free reigns with me. Whatever you would have me do here tonight, whatever you would have me speak on tonight, Lord, I pray that only your words would come through me. And, Lord, that I would be free and not bound up by any words or curses that have ever been spoken. That, Lord, I would be free because you set me free for the sake of being free, Lord. And I ask that my brothers and sisters on this phone, that they would be free indeed for the sake of being free because that's what you called them to be. And, Lord, I pray that tonight's topic about poverty and riches, that they would be set free, God. Set free to do what you've called them to do, not return to a yoke of bondage concerning money or concerning their walk with you, but that freedom would reign here, God. And wherever freedom is, will reign. That is where the enemy wants to work double time, bonding them to him, making sure that they are completely in bondage and unhappy and living and wallowing in pain and suffering and torment. So, God, you set us free for the sake of being free. I ask for your freedom, your anointing of freedom to be in this place and all these places that are represented around the call right now. Lord, I thank you for your son. I thank you, God, for everything that you've given me. Thank you, God, for all my family. I thank you for this business, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give my disclosure. This is a disclosure I've given on hundreds and hundreds of calls, and for some reason last weekend on Sunday night, I did not give this disclosure. So here's my disclosure. I'm half Nicaraguan, a quarter Irish, and a quarter Italian. So as you can tell, that mixture of blood is a little on the hot side. Spicy, passionate, whatever. What I will tell you is that when I get excited, I do get loud. And I'll do everything I can to keep my volume down. And maybe we can play team together, and maybe you can hold the phone a little further away from your head as I start to get more and more passionate and excited about the Word of God. The other thing I'm going to tell you is I love the Word of the living God, and I am a true studier of it, have been since the eighth grade, more intensely over the last 11 years. And there's nothing that I am more passionate about than the truth. Nothing I am more passionate about than the Word of the living God. And so this is what I would say. If there was any little bit of unsettledness in my spirit, I'm certainly not afraid of the Word of God. I'm not afraid about what the Bible says about poverty and riches by any stretch of the imagination. However, I am a little unsettled about how I will be received by what I am saying, because I'm sorry to tell you, and you might want to hang up now if you are not the type of person who likes people who are excited. The word enthusiasm in the Greek means enthusos, which means to be godlike, and this is not an act. When I do get excited, this is not an act. I am talking to you from all sincerity. If I tried to calm myself down, I would be fake. So I apologize ahead of time. I ask you for full forgiveness ahead of time, and I pray that this is a safe place on this phone with you, that this is a safe place that I can speak in and say, this is me, and I will not judge you, and I pray to God you don't judge me. It would be awesome if all of us brothers and sisters in Christ could just hold each other up in prayer and love one another, but unfortunately that's not always the case. It's sad that our churches are plagued with judgment. It's really sad to me, and I'm very passionate about that topic, very passionate about that topic. And the Lord has used me to preach many messages on that through the years, and many be set free from judgment and therefore live and walk in freedom. So, and the other thing, the other part of my disclosure is, yes, I do get passionate, and I also talk fast, the more excited I get. So for me to try to contain that spirit that dwells within me, which is His, and say, shut up, sit down, and be quiet, and be calm, I'm sorry, I'm going to apologize ahead of time, and I know I'm going to get some hate mail, and that's okay, because I'll lift that up to my Father and let Him deal with me, because I truly do, and I believe, and that all of us should admit wholeheartedly to Him. So I'm asking for forgiveness, and I am sorry ahead of time that I do get excited, that I am passionate, that He did make me bold, and I did ask Him to take that boldness away from me for 5 years until I really got slapped upside the head silly, and He said, I made you this way, and this is the way I want you to be. And since I've walked in that freedom, I can't tell you how many people the Lord God Almighty, by His Spirit, has set free to walk in either that same gifting or to walk in their own call and their own gifting. So let's get started on this beautiful, awesome topic, because the Word of God divides this very clearly, and it's very, very clearly. And if you want to, and I encourage all of you to do this, I really, really do, because God does not have judgment against rich or poor. He has judgment in our hearts concerning both issues, though, I'll tell you that. And there's a whole lot of scripture you can study. To be honest with you, there's more scripture about riches than there are about poverty. I found about 354 scriptures concerning prosperity, wealth, and riches. I found 198 scriptures about poverty. I highly encourage you, if you're a studier of the Word, you want to do that, go for it. Get out of concordance and have a great time and put in about 25 hours like I just did. Have a blast with it. If you don't have an extra 25 hours, which I didn't either, I'm a mother of five and run four businesses, then you can pick out what you want and spit out the bones. Chew the meat and spit out the bones. Let's just go ahead and get started. Here's something that's real interesting. God is the one who ordains both. He's in charge of the rich and the poor. That's what I found out. That God decides who makes money, He decides who He prospers, and He makes those rich who He chooses to make rich. That's a reality. I found it here in the scripture. Genesis 14:23 says, I made Abraham rich. That's what I said. I made Abraham rich. Who else did He make rich? Well, we'd be on the call for 3 hours if I were to tell you all the people in the Bible that He made rich. But let's just go through a few. Abraham was one of them. Let's just go down his line. Why? It was a promise of prosperity to them if they followed His commandments. And they went through many different seasons of poverty-stricken, starvation, no water, and abundance, great abundance. When the Israelites would obey their God and hold up His commandments, then He would prosper them. When they would turn around and worship other gods, when they would turn around and dishonor the Most High God and forget who He was and that He parted the Red Sea for them, and they would whine, murmur, complain, not take care of what He entrusted them with, He would take it away. And so there's a very strong thread throughout both poverty and riches, and they actually intertwine with each other, and they make a beautiful tapestry that make up 500 scriptures in the Bible that talk about this. But this is interesting. God made Abraham, rich. Abraham's father was also rich. So was Abraham's son. Isaac was rich. Ishmael was also rich. It's right there in the scripture. So for some of us who, and I was one of them, who lived under the teaching that if you're rich, you're bad, well, then why was David rich? Why was Abraham rich? Why was Joseph rich? Everything he touched prospered. Why was Jacob and Esau and Ishmael? Hello, check this out. And it's funny because so many of us are under this bondage of thinking that God does not, first of all, God does not favor anybody. The Bible says clearly that he doesn't show favoritism to anybody. That's a reality. But somehow, somewhere in the body of Christ, somewhere in some pulpit, in some book, somewhere, this feeling of you are really discredited by God if you are rich has nothing to do with the riches, has everything to do with the matter of the heart, has everything to do with what you do with those riches and how you desire those riches. That's what it has to do with. And so check this out. Here's two contrasts. There was a woman that Jesus honored, and there was a man that God honored, a huge honor both ways, okay? You know about the woman who was the widow. Jesus was in the temple watching everybody paying their tithes and bringing in their offerings. And he watched all the rich bringing in their generous offerings. And it said that the rich brought in generous offerings, right? And then it said a widow came. A poor widow came. And she gave all that she had earned, gave all that she had. And he said she had given much more than the rich had given because she gave all that she had. Here was a woman who was honored for giving all to the king. Here's another one. Joseph of Arimathea. Most people have no idea who that is. But Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, it says clearly in the Bible, was one of Jesus' disciples. It said, who had become a disciple of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea shows up after Christ had beautifully died on that cross, had sanctified all of our sins, who had paid the price in that bloody place and in the pit of hell. And yes, I just saw the Passion of Christ twice, two nights in a row, wept my guts out, and had so much revelation in the how much our God loves us, how much Christ loved us, how obedient he was to the Father. The list goes on. The list goes on. Joseph of Arimathea went to the head of the government at that time and asked for Christ's body, that he would give him a proper burial, wrapping him, mummifying him, covering him with frankincense and myrrh and the perfumes and the oils, and putting him in his new tomb. What an honor. What an honor. That God would allow a rich man to go out there and mummify that beautiful broken body. So the scripture shows clearly that both have been honored. That yes, rich people have been honored. I would be here for hours, I'm telling you, 500 scriptures. There's a lot of rich who have been honored, there's a lot of poor who have been honored. So both are honored. It all is a matter of the heart. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Christ, meaning not a disciple of money. Not a disciple of business. Not a disciple of things and possessions. No. He was a disciple of Christ, and my goal tonight is that you would become that more than anything. That you would become that. And to be honest with you, some people may not be happy with me with this direction this is going to go because this is concerning business. And we are held accountable. But I'm held accountable first by my God. And I'm held accountable to speak the truth about money. And I've lived the truth about money on both sides. And so reading these was very interesting because I saw clearly why I lost money the first time. Yeah, I became a millionaire at the age of 23. Why? God blessed me. That's why. Not because of my talent, ability, or any of that nonsense. I worked hard, yes, because that's your part. You'll see that by the time I'm done with you. Work hard. It'll work. Work hard in network marketing, and it'll really work. Here we go. So God chooses to make rich who he decides to make rich. That's the reality. It says that the rich people on the earth will feast and worship him. Again, another place of honor. But we also know, most of us only know the scriptures that put down the people who are rich. Why? Because they've made some big mistakes. That's why. Because riches can be a trap. And I hope and pray tonight that I can equip you away from the trap of riches. It's okay to be rich, but to be owned by it is absolutely not okay. So this is what I did. After reading 500 scriptures, this is what I did. I made a list. I kind of came through a conclusion. I would go through each one of these scriptures going, wow, that's just like this one. Kind of like categorize them, if you can come along with me on that road. Because there's a lot of similarities in all of these scriptures. The 200 scriptures, for example, that talk about poverty, I'm going to talk about poverty first. Is it showed clearly what the causes of poverty are. Very, very, very clearly what the causes of poverty are. If you really want to know about poverty, read the book of Proverbs. And also riches, because it very clearly shows how people become poor. It's very simple. It also shows how people can become rich and the traps that riches do have. So poverty and riches both have traps, okay? I already said this. Both have been honored and both have traps. And both God ordained. And we have a say in that ordination. Just as Moses had a say when God wanted to slaughter all the Israelites because of their murmuring and complaining about what they didn't have. They were complaining and murmuring about the freedoms that they had. He said, I'm wiping these people out. I'm sick and tired of them, man. I can't stand their whining anymore. That's, by the way, Danny translation. So he wanted to wipe them out, and Moses pleaded passionately, said, no, then how would you be remembered? As the God who led them out of Israel just to have them die in the desert? And God said, yeah, you know, you're right. I'm sure he didn't say that. But anyway, but he said, okay, I won't slaughter them, but they need to follow these commandments. So here we go. Spend some time in Proverbs if you want to know this. Here's what it says about poverty. It says, poverty is caused by laziness and half-hearted work. You know all those scriptures that say, you know, a lazy man's roof will leak, that the shingles are falling off of his roof. That laziness can cause poverty. That wasn't too profound. That half-hearted work is going to produce poverty. He wants 100%. If we're working for him, what kind of a job will we do? Okay, for example, let's say, you know what? From 5 to 9 every night, I'm going to work my business, which is unrealistic if you have a family. Absolutely unrealistic, unless you're home with your family during the day. From 5 to 9 every single night, I am going to work my business. And if that's the commitment that you make, you know what he says, let your yeses be yes and your noes be noes. Well, does that mean that you're going to, like, alphabetize and reorganize and sit around and twiddle your thumbs and figure out how to spin a pen in your hands? No. That means that you are doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. And I don't know what Patty has taught you, but what I've taught my sales organization is 80% of your time you have to be in recruit mode. You absolutely have to be actually either recruiting or selling all day long as far as 80% of that time. That has to happen. If you're not doing that function, you're not creating sales, you are not developing a sales force, and therefore you are never going to get to where you want to go if you are not putting in 100% during that 80% of the time that you're supposed to be recruiting and selling. You know, we see some people who working half-heartedly could be because we're plagued by fear. Well, you know what? Let the fear of the Lord come upon us and say, whoa, my boss is the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's who I'm working for. And that's who I want to bring my work to. I want to go before my king and say, Lord, what do you think? And we want him to say, good job, my faithful servant. Okay, here's another thing. Foolishness, drunkard, glutton, and haste causes poverty. So if you like the lifestyle of someone who is poor, walk in foolishness, be a drunkard, be a glutton, and be hasteful with your money. Spend it like it's nothing. Have no accountability for it. That will lead you straight into poverty. Meaning, do we need 12 pairs of black shoes? I don't think so. Haste, meaning thumbing through television, what do they call those things? We don't have TV anymore. Infomercials. Boom, instantaneous buying. Let me give you, my husband and I do a class on how not to go poor, but it's on this. Wait 30 days. You see something on that infomercial that you just have to have because you're getting sold? Wait 30 days. If you still want it 30 days from now, guess what? Then it's something that you need to have. But if you don't want it 2 days later, you already bought it, now you got debt. Okay, haste. You're going through the store and, oh, I have to have that pink blouse. Or I have to have that black suit. Wait 30 days and still see if you have to have it. And if you do, go back and get it. If you can pay cash for it, go for it. So haste leads to poverty. Here's another one. Number 4 is what I found in the 200 scripture was that they were rich and lost it because of not helping the poor and the needy. Whoa, that was interesting. That was very interesting. That the rich had lost it because they did not help the poor and the needy. Here's another one. Pride, haughtiness, and forgetting God. These are people who had wealth, lost it because of pride, haughtiness, and forgetting God. Meaning during their impoverished days, they were on the floor begging out, asking God for help. Give me a sign, Lord. Give me a business. Help me get out of debt. I promise if you do this for me, then I will. You know, we've all had those prayers. And so they became rich, got filled with pride. Whew, look at me, man. I did this. I built that. Haughtiness. Oh, I don't associate with those kinds of people anymore. Forgetting God. What happened to the prayer time? What happened to the begging out, crying out for God? Why? Because if he gave you what you needed, then that means we manipulated our Lord like my 4-year-old manipulated me earlier to have a piece of pie. Ooh, Patty, I know I'm going to hate my mom on that one.
Okay,
you know what? No, you're not, because what you're saying right now, I am wondering how many thousands of people we could get to hear this message, Christian and not Christian, because
no,
this is the key right here. This is
it. It is.
Here's the deal. God is the richest one in the universe. He owns it all. He's got the bank. He's got the codes. He's got it all. That's who has it. Not your boss. Do you understand? None of that. He owns it all, and he decides who gets it based on your ability, which, by the way, is in your control. I love that part. I absolutely love that part. I can't wait to get to this next step. Okay, let me keep going. Here's another one. Number five. Ignoring discipline. This one was like, wow. It's in Proverbs, by the way. Ignoring discipline. Yes. Wow. That's how you can lose money. You see, we live in the richest country in the world. Most of us on this phone are considered rich on other standards throughout the world. We just don't realize it because we compare ourselves to everybody else. Go to a third world country and see how rich you are. So ignoring discipline. I think all of you guys need to write that one down. Every one of us need to work on that. Where the Lord tries to discipline us, and we ignore it. We absolutely ignore it. When we ignore discipline, you will be impoverished. Number six, being stingy. Wow. I mean, it clearly says that. Clearly says that in the Bible, that a stingy man will be impoverished. Whew. In Proverbs. Number seven, idle hands. Yep. Idle hands will make you poor. Number eight, loving pleasure. This is also mentioned many times in there. He who loves pleasure, this is Proverbs 21:17. He who loves pleasure will become poor. That's what it said. And if you think you're poor now, ooh, ow. I'm not kidding you. Hello, I was homeless, okay? I had $2.03 to my name at one point in my career in this business. Here's another one. A man of a perverse heart will not prosper. Proverbs 17:2. Here's another one. Proverbs 20:13. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. Whew. Isn't that amazing? Check this one out. Proverbs 22:2. This is proof to you that God makes both of them. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. That's what it says. It says, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. Unfortunately, that's the truth, and it is a sin for us to not heed rich and poor opinion. Here's another one. Number nine, loving money eventually will make you poor. Crystal clear in the Bible. Number 10, a man with a perverse heart does not prosper. And number 11 is a man, and I say, or woman, who hides his sins will be poor. Hello. So there you go. There's 12 things that you can not do and have greater chances of becoming wealthy. These are the things. And so God clearly says, if you're not going to work, you're not going to eat. That's in Thessalonians. If a man will not work, do not feed him. That's what it says. That is what it says. So what this is showing me is that we have some say in the kind of money that we make. Here's another thing. Here are commandments to the rest of us concerning the poor, that we are to be fair and just. Proverbs 31:9 says, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That is a commandment, that we are to be fair and just. There's lots of scriptures in the Bible concerning that, to be fair and just to the poor. It says, do not disregard them and treat the rich better. That's in James. James, hello, is a great book to read concerning financial bondage. Do not disregard them and do not treat the rich better. You know that story in the book of James where it says, here you are, you have this meeting, and it says meeting. You're having this meeting, and I'm telling you, I got the picture of a network marketing meeting. And you sit the man who's well-dressed with riches on his hands, and you sit him in the front, and you tell the poor beggar to sit on the floor beside your feet. That's a sin. That's a sin against God. We are not to show favoritism to people. The Lord doesn't, and neither are we. It says, don't oppress or mistreat the poor. and we are to preach the good news to them. Why? Because if we can preach the good news to them and show them that Jesus set them free for the sake of being free, they can be free from laziness and half-hearted work. They can be free from foolishness, drunkenness, glutton, hasteful spending. They can be free from desiring pleasure all the time instead of thinking of their future and thinking of other people. They can stop ignoring discipline. They can stop being stingy. Are you with me? Okay, I'm going to slow down again. Okay, here's another one. So let me go to the 354 scriptures that I found concerning wealth. This is interesting. Again, God decides who makes money and he prospers. That's what I found studying all prosper, wealthy, wealth, riches, all that kind of stuff. Number two, we are co-laborers with Christ. I hope you're getting the picture here. We're co-laborers with Christ, meaning if you're given 100% to your network marketing business and also to your job, the next time there is a promotion ready to be given out, guess what? You are the one to earn it. Why? Because you are a child of the Most High God, therefore you have His favor upon you. And two, because you did more than the other guy. Showed up early, left late. Produced more. Did more with a cheerful heart. Because you are a child of the Most High God, and that is who you're serving, the one who sees all. You see, people are impoverished because you know what, on their job, when their boss isn't looking, they're doing what my 12-year-old is doing. Yes! I went out of town last week, my 12-year-old decided to put on a little too much glitter, knowing that if I were to see it, she'd have been in big trouble. Most people who are stricken by poverty are that way because they don't realize that they're working for an omniscient God who controls all the money, who controls all the promotions. So, here we go. We're co-laborers with Christ, which means we have a say in what we're doing. And I'm going to prove that to you, because some of you right now are fighting me. I can feel it in the spirit. Some of you are fighting me right there, but when I take you to Matthew, you won't fight nothing no more, because the truth is the truth, period, end of story. Number three. Oh, and this one is so good. Let me find this one so that I don't get... Okay, here we go. Ready? This is... Uh-oh. Deuteronomy.
I love you, Gabby.
Thank you. Deuteronomy 28:69. It says, oh, you guys have to look this up. And you need to post this up in the right places. And see, here's the deal. Most of the body of Christ, let's see, half of them are teaching all poverty. The other half are teaching all prosperity. You got to teach it all because there's traps in both. And so look at this. Deuteronomy 28:63 says, it pleases the Lord to make you prosper. That's what it says. And he says, follow in 29:29, Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, follow my commandments so that you may prosper in everything you do. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. What did I say over here on the other side of Proverbs? It said, a stingy man will be poor. I wonder what we're supposed to do if we want to make more money. We're supposed to be generous. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to give. That's the key to wealth, is giving. Giving, giving, giving. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Okay, Proverbs 28:25, it says, he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. What's that tell us? We have to trust in him, not in money, not in man, not in my company, not in me, not in Patty, not in Jason, not in yourself. He who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Jeremiah 29:11, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Ezekiel 36:11 says, I will make you prosper more than before. Some of you need to take hold of that. I will prosper you more than before. May you prosper greatly is Daniel 4:1. Genesis 39:2 says, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered him greatly. Deuteronomy 35, he will make you more prosperous. Do I need to go on? Hello, it's obvious that if you're prospering, it's the hand of God that is on your life that has prospered you. It pleases the Lord to make you prosper. Well, I know my God, and I know you know your God. He loves to be pleased. It pleases him for his children to be doing great. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you have any children, even God children or nieces and nephews, that you truly do love, that you see some of them, they're just naturally good, hard workers, right? And you know what? They're favored by people because they are. Why? It pleases our God the very same way, that he will bless the work of your hands as long as you're working them. So that's the reality. Okay, Job 22:21, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. That's what it says. Prosperity will come to you. Job 36:11. And by the way, hello, there was a rich man who lost it all and was given much, much more because God trusted him. He trusted him with his wealth. He trusted him without his wealth. And God prospered him far greater after he had lost it all. It says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. Oh, it's beautiful. Do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Psalms 1, we all know this one. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the... Hello, you know that one. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, sit in the seat of mockers, da-da-da-da-da, and then at the end of it, it says, whatever he does prospers. Hello? Yes. So, that's what we know. So here's a list of 13 things for prosperity. One is God decides. Two, we are co-laborers with Christ. Three, he wants to prosper you. This is what you have to ask yourself. Let's see, Susie, if you're not prospering, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing to stop what pleases my God? What am I doing to stop what pleases God? Do you understand? It pleases God to prosper you. So you have to ask yourself, if I am not prospering, then what am I doing to stop it from happening? Because that miracle is already in motion of prosperity. It is. So you have to ask yourself, am I half-heartedly working my network marketing business? Am I desiring pleasure more than I'm desiring him? Do I love money more than I love him? Do I love things more than I love him? Because those are key. Hello, wake-up calls. Am I stingy with my money? Am I afraid of losing my money? Do I not trust in the Lord with my whole heart with my money? Well, hold on a second. Back up. It's not your money, and it's not my money. It's his money, and depending on how we can be trusted with his money will determine if we get more money, and that is 100% scriptural. Number four, go to work. Go to work. And go to work with the absolute assurance and trust that your God is your boss and that your God will see what you will do, that your God will see you picking up that phone, making those phone calls with clean motives to help somebody get into a business that can get them out of debt. Go to work for him and show him. I know you all remember your first job and how hard you worked and 150% that you put into it and you got promoted because of it. Guess what? Your God is fair. And man is not, but your God is. Number five, be trusted with what you have, and you will get more. That's what the scriptures say. And I'm going to show that with the parable of the talents. Be trusted with what you have, and you will receive more. Let me give you a little small thing on this. You know, I bought a condo when I was 21. After being homeless, exactly a year later, I purchased my first $250,000 home. And after about 3 years, I became kind of antsy about it. I wanted to get out of it, and I was busy pouring money into my other companies and, you know, doing all these other things. And I began not to like that place anymore, and I began not to treat it the way I did when I first moved in. You know, you buy your first home, and you're just, woohoo, you're tickled, man. You sleep in that bed, and you're like, oh, this is it. You know, you just feel so good that you purchase this thing, and you take extra wonderful, beautiful care of that first home that you buy. Then, through time, you start to not be that way about it anymore. The excitement leaves, and you start leaving underwear on the floor, and you start leaving socks in the living room, and you start not really caring if you do the dishes after you finish your dinner. Do you understand? You don't treat it with the same kind of care that you did when it was new. Same with a new car, okay? You said when you buy your first new car, you're like, I'm never eating in this car. And then there's McDonald's wrappers under the seat. So anyway, you understand? So after about 3 years, I started to go, I don't like this home anymore. And you know what? I stopped cleaning it up. I stopped being nice to it. And I got so convicted this one Sunday about this scripture right there that says that I would be trusted, that how could I be trusted with more if I don't take care of what I already have? Oh, I went home and scoured that place. And from that day forward, I really started to care for it the same way that I did in the very beginning. And wow, very shortly after we moved into a 5,000 square foot house, and it was a beautiful million-dollar home in our early 20s, that happened. And so when you can be trusted with what you have, then God can give you more. Hello, 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 hello. If you have kids, I'm sure you've raised them this way. For example, if you had a child who abused a privilege, you take the privilege away. And when they can be trusted, you give them a little bit again. You say, okay, well, you seem to be handling that night out on the town pretty good. All right, well, let's see if you can handle more. Do you understand? I know you do. For example, you have daughters with the makeup issue in their early teens, you know, and it's like, okay, well, if you come out like a $2 you-know-what, then I'm sorry, you're not going to be trusted with it. If you're sneaking behind my back to put it on, it's going to be taken away. But if I can trust you to obey this, then I can trust you with a little bit more. Okay, here's one small privilege. Let me see how you deal with that. You're doing good. Here's another one. Let me see how you do that. We just bought our son a motorcycle bike thing, our 9-year-old. And if he can care for it, I'm a strong believer in this. We all have different ways of raising kids. But, hello, we're children of the Most High God. This is wisdom here. My son, if his room is clean, if he keeps up his responsibilities first, he can play later. Do you understand? So if you can be trusted with the home that you have right now and that you're caring for it as though it is the home that you want to go to, then you will be blessed with the next one up from there. You know, I know that my God says that he takes us from glory to glory to glory. Not from glory to hell. From glory to glory to glory. Here we go. Number 6. Ooh, submit to God and be at peace with him. I read you that scripture. We are to submit to God. Job said this. Submit to God and be at peace with him and we will prosper all the days of our life. Number 7. Do not strive for money. This is what I found in all the riches scriptures and wealth scriptures. Everything was about do not strive for it. Listen to me loud and clear. Please, I want to cry when I say this. Just work and let God be God and let him multiply your efforts. And you will see that the scripture is true, that it pleases him to prosper you. You will see that, but you have to do your part. So just go to work, work hard, and let God be God and let him multiply your efforts. And if something's not happening, then you have to say, Lord, show me what am I doing that is stopping the blessing from coming. Because we can do that. We can hinder prosperity with that first list that I gave you. Number 8, let it not be your God or it will, listen to me, destroy your life. I lived that. I lived that. I know firsthand. Yes, I made $1 million and I lost it. Spent every red cent of it on stupid stuff. Stupid stuff, $5,000 suits, I have $200,000 in jewelry, rah, rah, rah. Sick and disgusting to me now. It is, I'm sorry, I'm telling you the truth. Why? Because it ruled my life. That's why it's sick to me. Because it ruled my life. I desired it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It's all I dreamt about. It was plaguing my whole life. Money now was my God. And I lost it because it became my God. Then God got put back in his place, and he's prospered me ever since, and we have never, ever lost gigantic amounts of money since then. Number 9, stay far away from pride. Number 9, stay far away from pride. You know, in my training seminars, like I have one coming up in 2 weeks, we really teach hard on this. Don't ever forget where you came from. I don't ever want to forget that I was a broke cocktail waitress of $2.03 to my name. I don't ever want to forget the wounding that I had by the church. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to become like the Christians that wounded me, that gossiped about me, that condemned me, that were painful to me. I don't ever want to become that. I want to love unconditionally. And unfortunately, when we start walking with God, this little self-righteousness likes to come on us and go, well, you're not living your life right. That's why you're not prospering. No, that's not true. God controls who gets what, period, end of story. So we have to be fair and honoring to our fellow man. Doesn't matter what size their bank account is. Please hear me loud and clear. Stay far away from pride. Don't ever forget where you came from. I don't ever want to forget that I was abused by my father in every way, shape, and form. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't. Because I want to be able to relate with all those other hurting people that are out there who are suffering and carrying that. And I want to be able to lead them across the Jordan, across the Red Sea to say, my Jesus set me free and he can set you free too. That kind of sounded like I made that rhyme, but I didn't try, I promise. Number 10, don't favor rich people over poor. I think you got that loud and clear on the first list. Number 11, be just. We are to be just. If you are prospering, you are to be just. Number 12, don't wear yourself out to get rich. I've been teaching that for 8 years. I wore myself out once to make $1 million, and I will never do that again, and God bless me with 3 more. Hello? Because we refused to be enslaved by money and business, and I'm telling you right now, do not be enslaved to it. keep your priorities straight, keep your God first, keep your family next, then work your business 150% when you're working that business. And if you've got stumbling blocks, then you better find out how to get over them. And if you've got barriers in recruiting, barriers in retailing products, barriers in presenting, then do whatever it takes to bust through those barriers as quickly as you can. Get the right kind of training so that you can get out there and be good at the job God had called you to do, because you're not here by accident. That's another thing that shows you in Ecclesiastes. Number 13, I'm sorry, I'm getting fast. Don't be stingy. That's what we find in these scriptures. Don't be stingy. I'm going to wrap this up with this little thing right here. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each, check this out, according to his ability. He gave 5 to 1 because the guy had the ability to do something with the 5. Here's my question. What level of ability do you have in network marketing? And if you are lacking ability, guess what? Oh, there's schools of information on how to gain great ability in network marketing. Don't you love it? You know, there's all kinds of trainers that are available out there. Go to my website, DannyJohnson.com. There's 30 hours of free training on there to help your ability to get stronger so that the next time the Lord's passing out the talents, guess what? You're going to get 3 instead of 1. Do you understand? I love that part of that. Each according to his ability. And I love the fact that we are in control of what we do with our ability. You have to ask yourself, when was the last time you worked on your ability in your business? Then he says, then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master came back. He returned to the servants, da-da-da-da-da. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5 and said, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. By the way, oh, guys, just think for a moment. You know those days where you just put in a good 150% effort into your business? Don't you just go to bed and sleep so solid? Ha ha, guess what? That's scriptural. It is. It says that. That a man's hard work, his hard labor, that he'll have a sweet sleep. Those days where we lay our heads down at night, we go, wow, man, I gave it my all. I didn't buy my excuses today. I didn't fall into fear today. Man, I put in a good solid day's work today. I didn't slough it off. By the way, there's that other scripture in Proverbs. It says a little sleep, a little summer, a little folding of the hands leads to poverty. Don't get into this business and think 5 years from now you want to retire and do nothing. Don't even go there. And when you start making big money, don't think that you're just going to take all this time off and just play. Guys, you'll get bored. I promise you. Unless, of course, you're 70. You've already worked your whole life and you need to take a rest, and that's okay. But you know what? You know how many times I've retired in this business? 4. Why? I got bored, man. It's not fun unless you're working it. Okay, then here's the other one. The man with 2 talents also came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that awesome? He didn't favor the guy who had 5. Listen, he says, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I want to cry here. This is so awesome. Isn't this beautiful? Look. He did not favor the guy with 5. He said to both of them, good job, my faithful servant. He called them both faithful. He said they both were good. He said that they were trusted with a few. Now he would give them more. Now come and share your master's faithfulness. Okay, what does that mean? The guy who sponsors 20 this month, okay, because according to his ability, let's say that. And the one who sponsors just 5, the Lord looks at both of you and says, good job. Now come and share in your master's happiness. But if the guy that sponsored 20 really only put in, let's say, 20 hours that week and he works the business full time, and all he did was sponsor 20, why? Because no one else can sponsor 20 and that's all he needed to do to be the best in the company? Oh, hello. I got convicted this 3 years ago, guys. That if your ability do not use other people to decide what you're going to do. Because if the guy, for example, just worked half-heartedly and wound up bringing in 20 people, because he has to do much less to outdo everybody else, I hope you're understanding me, he will be held accountable for that action. Do you understand? He will be held accountable for that action. Why? Well, let's go here. Isn't that beautiful, though, that God does not, that he's looking at your results and saying, good job. Good job. I'm proud of you. You're faithful. Come share with my happiness. Here's this one. It says, then the man who had received the one talent, master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I do not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw this worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There you go. God loves good workers. He calls you faithful. God puts you in your business. He puts you in your business, this network marketing business. He brought you this. In fact, Ecclesiastes, I'm going to prove it to you. It says, whatever your hands can find, do it. With all of your might, whatever your hands, it's Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find, whoops, hide and go seek, you guys found your company. Bottom line, you found your company, or it found you. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, and do it and work as unto the Lord. That's what it says. That's what it says. And Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, if a man is lazy, the rafters sag, and his hands are idle, and the house leaks. There you go. Contrast. So, let me just wrap this up. Here's some reality. The reality is God makes both rich and poor. Yep. So either one is not bad. They are what they are. That's the reality. I've been rich, I've been poor. I'll tell you which one I enjoy more. I definitely enjoy prosperity over poverty. No question. But I'll tell you that poverty was a huge lesson for me. Huge lessons for me. Enormous. I'd be here all night if I went through those lessons, where, and most of those lessons would blow most of you guys out of the water. And that's okay. When you get there, you'll be ready. Here's another one. He wants to prosper you. You have to do your part. And let him be God and let him multiply your efforts. Don't fall into the traps of either poverty or riches. Don't fall into the traps. I believe that God's desire is to prosper you. It says it clearly right there in the Bible. It says it clearly. At the same time, what you can be entrusted with, for example, a business, to say that your business, you could be trusted with 10 customers. And if you treat those customers well and you continue going out there and getting more customers, he's going to give you more customers. If you whine and complain about the fact that you only have 10 customers, I'll tell you right now, my sons, if one of my sons whined and complained about the toy that they had, I'm certainly not going to go get him another one. Why? Because after a while, he'd be like the Israelites whining and complaining they only have manna to eat. My son's going to whine and complain about what he has. I'm certainly not going to give him more. By the way, I've taught this to my kids. It's not the way to open the vault. Complaining about it. Never. So why is riches a trap? Because if you love money, then you'll never have money enough. It says that right in the book of Proverbs. If you love money, you'll never have money enough. No matter what you earn, it will never, ever be enough. That's a sure sign of greed. And if that's it, then you lay it before your God in heaven and say, God, forgive me for greed and take this monkey off my back right now because I don't want it. I want to honor you, Lord. I want to honor you. The traps of riches is pride, haughtiness, stinginess. That's the traps of riches. And the traps of poverty is laziness, drunkard, glutton, haste, spending money that you don't even have, going into debt. All of that is a trap of poverty. Also being stingy is a trap of being impoverished. Idle hands. just be trusted to work as unto the Lord. And your God is faithful, your God is just, and he will reward you by what he trusted you with. Be the best that you can. Give it your best shot. And again, if you are having hindrances in any area of your business, like recruiting or retail or whatever, then search it out and say, God, show me the right trainer that I can work with so that I can learn how to get good at this right here. That's what you want to do. You want to say, God, I need help with closing. But to be honest with you, every call that I make, even now as a trainer, every call that I make, it is, okay, Jesus, be with me right now and let my words fall to the ground and let you reign in this call. You be God. I want to be in the center of your will. Be trusted to work as unto the Lord and show him that you're willing to do a great job. And if you hit a wall, then you just say, God, guide me and show me how I can fix this. And seek it out and chase training. Chase those conference calls that equip you and develop you to get your ability up. Isn't that so exciting that he gives talents? He gives money according to our ability. Isn't that beautiful? It says it right there in Matthew. Be the best that you can. Do the best job that you can because he's watching over you and he's just and he's trustful. Let God be God. He's the one that when the sower of the seed plants the seed, he's the one that grows it. And our business is no different than farming. It's no different that if you sow the seed, the Lord will bless it. He will grow it. You just have to plant a lot of seed just like any farmer does. Let God be God and let him prosper you as you grow in ability, as you grow in skill, as you grow in obedience. Let me close this call with this. Just obey his commandments so that you will be prospered all the days of your life. Obey his commandments. And one of those commandments is let no other God come before him. And money can be a God. Things can be a God. They can be. And if you wonder if it is for you, then you say, search my heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. The same prayer that David cried out. Create in me a clean heart. And why? Because I've lived a life. And it does lead to absolute destruction. You know, when I first started making money, the first thing I did was work a whole lot less hours and do a half-hearted job. And you know what? The Lord held me accountable for that. Why? I was acting like a poverty-stricken person, trying to get more out of doing less. That is a hard attitude that leads to poverty. And I eventually lost that money because of that. And praise God, that put us on the floor saying, God, what do we do? What do we have to change? We will do it. And he said, listen, I trust you with the business. I want you to work that business. Don't buy into this retirement early stuff. Girl, I've called you to the marketplace. Now get out there and make it happen. Now, I'm not saying God's a slave driver, because he's not. Isn't that beautiful? Look at the guy that had two talents. Well, the one that did had five, he worked harder. But God honored them both. Isn't that so beautiful? So obey him. Obey him. Listen to me now. If you're not giving your business 100%, you're not obeying your Father in heaven, because Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hands can find, do it. As unto the Lord, do it, work it with all of your might. Are you working your network marketing business with all your might? That's something to ask yourself. And listen to me. If you are, I rejoice with you. Because guess what? God is God. And he will bless your hands. He will prosper you. He will make it grow. It's just a matter of time. And now walk by faith and know, I am obeying my God in heaven. Money is not my goal. God, protect me from every trap of poverty and of riches and keep my focus on you. And if he gives you 10 new distributors and you are grateful for that and you're not whining, you know, those people don't do nothing. They're just whining and complaining all the time. If you're going to put down what you have, he's not going to give you more. But if you lift up and you say, thank you, Jesus, for the blessing of these 10 people, I am so grateful. Thank you so much, and show me 10 more. And guess what? He said it in his word. He promised it, and he will give it to you. He will absolutely give it to you. So I ask you now, shake off whatever bond it is that you have and just go to work and let him be God. And if he decides to prosper you, then you be grateful with that prosperity and be trusted with it. And do not forget who prospered you and how it came. Don't forget where you came from. Do not be stingy. Be generous. So anyway, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about how awesome our God is and how these promises are true. And I'm telling you, I did nothing but preach to you the word of the living God that presented both sides.
We hope you've enjoyed this live audio training by Danny Johnson. For more information about upcoming seminar events and to get immediate free access to trainings, tools, tips, and resources that will transform your life and explode your business, visit DannyJohnson.com today. That's DannyJohnson.com. All content on this audio program is copyright of DannyJohnson.com. All rights reserved. DannyJohnson.com is a division of Call to Freedom International, LLC.